This podcast is brought to you by the Institute for Building Technology and Safety, IBTS, a national nonprofit organization and trusted partner to public, nonprofit, and private clients. IBTS's work is guided by a board of directors with representatives from the Council of State Governments, the International City-County Management Association, the National Association of Counties, the National Governors Association, and the National League of Cities. Thanks for tuning in. This is On Further Inspection with IBTS. IBTS has performed more than 80,000 photovoltaic inspections and plan reviews nationwide, employing its FitQM software to bolster industry quality with real-world data, helping set best practices for the accredited national standard, and training the workforce in installation inspections. I'm your host, Gabby Giracci, and on today's episode, we have our very own solar quality assurance and quality control guru, Rudy Saporetti. Rudy is the program director for IBTS's Energy and Sustainability Group, which in turn is part of our Building Department Services division. Rudy will be guiding us through the history of solar standards and IBTS's pivotal role in their evolution. Rudy, to start, please go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us about how you and IBTS got involved in the safety aspect of the solar industry.
All right. Okay. Good morning. My name is Rudy Saporetti. I'm the IBTS Program Director for Energy Services Group. We provide a specialized service that oversees compliance with various standards or codes specific to energy efficiency, building science, or renewable energy technologies. I've been with IBTS now 13 years. Actually started off with IBTS as a temporary employee, where I was overseeing installs and work within the New York State Weatherization Assistance Program. And that sort of begins the trajectory or the growth of our energy services group here, as I've come to know it. And at the time, I had moved, it was about 2008, 2009. I was a self-employed general contractor building homes in Lower New York in Dutchess County. And, you know, the market hit and things got a little bit difficult, and I found myself working at a not-for-profit subgrantee state agency doing subrecipient work for weatherization assistance program just based on my skill set and qualification. That work was largely focused on energy reduction, air sealing, installation of multifamily homes throughout New York State. And IBTS had the contract to provide audits for subrecipients working within this program. When I came in from the Affordable Housing Conservancy and from the Weatherization Assistance Program, I had what was known as a very not well adopted certification, and meaning there were, I think, only 2,000 of us individuals in the entire solar industry nationally and throughout the world that held this NABCEP certificate for PV installation professional. And that was sort of the start of a lot of work that I did here at IBTS, because what it did was allow us to apply for, qualify for various different programs or incentive-based processes that required PV installation inspection, but that it was done by a third party, sort of not-for-profit, because these are state agencies paying rebate fundings out to, you know, using public funded dollars for private investment, as well as for, say, Department of Energy and others looking to overcome various hurdles with the adoption of or support of renewable energy systems such as PV or battery storage. So I think our first contract was early on. I did four inspections for, I want to say it was Sungevity early on. Sungevity, a company that's been acquired by and folded into other larger companies as the industry's grown over the last few years. And I essentially did our first inspection on a paper checklist with questions that I wrote down that I thought addressed my client's risk that I was mitigating. That 13 questions on a paper form became an InfoPath form, I want to say, if we're talking about really early software technology, so that we could start to track and compile data and information for our clients that quickly grew to cover There's such as Sunrun, Sunnova, Grid Alternatives, and some of the larger organizations within the industry that were trying to navigate these privately funded new industry, new businesses. So IBTS provided a mechanism for those investment investment carriers and banks to provide oversight at a more technical level, ensuring those assets were built with some quality or some long-term ability to produce assets. That then evolved from that position over the course of the last decade to be a number of different efforts supporting the end goal of ease of compliance within the industry. And that's things such as creating standards, templates, inspection checklists, working with various different groups that I could talk a little bit more in a moment here as we talk about some of the outcomes that we've created, and helping to essentially create a solar standard, because we understand that a quality management process, or QA/QC as we've come to think of it, is all predicated on there being a standard of reference or a technical guideline that you're trying to meet or achieve with result or with respect to the end product. So a lot of our effort focused around, hey, this is a new industry, and the industry itself needs help bringing together the various stakeholders to create that standard. And I think we've done a number of different projects and supported a number of different efforts that have all supported that. And thankfully, this year we're making some headway with regard to a solar PV actual installation standard that would be nationally adopted and accredited, which I'd love to talk about in just a moment.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Wow. I can't believe that you've been doing this for so long. You've really seen the solar industry grow and I'm sure identified needs along the way. Tell us a little bit about what this landscape is for solar right now as opposed to a few years ago.
Yeah, and good point that I've seen the gamut of it. It seems like at first I was selling inspection services and QA/QC, and people looked at me as though I was selling snake oil, right? Like one of those old school like sellers of goods. Like, this is gonna, you just rub this oil on your elbow and your solar will be better at the end of the day, you know? And it's like they didn't get it. But that is, I think, a large. Or it's a way that explains the change in the industry as we've come to know it. Early on, and this isn't the solar industry, these are all new industries, these are all new marketplaces where the investment or the opportunity becomes funded through a number of different mechanisms. And really, that's intended to jumpstart the industry and really gain some saturation of both labor and workforce, as well as materials and equipment. Hopefully, if those two begin to succeed, the customer, the consumer, the value to the public, and the offset are inherent in the planning and workforce growth that went into, the onset of the plan. So I've been very happy as the past few years have come to provide some of those clients coming back to me and saying, hey, man, I'm actually seeing where some of the holes are in my process. And as this industry gets a little more competitive with less of that seed funding available, more of the known unknowns in terms of production and losses to our assets or portfolios, and then just the efficiency of business. Year over year, businesses are trying to cut costs. We're trying to lower the cost per watt of installation and soft costs related to system installs. And that has an inherent, I guess, value or lack thereof to long-term system performance, which is often how we monetize these systems and the installations. So I've been really happy to see in the last few years a trend changing towards, all right, what is this data telling us? Where are we weakest? Where can we most efficiently spend our time and energy on improvements? And a large part of what I do with the industry or with our clients alone is to take that data that we've compiled over the last 13 years, more than 85,000 systems or so of assessment in just our own private
Wow.
clients, and then more than 25,000 or so assessments in the NYSERDA arena that we've done in the last 5 years doing the New York Sun program stuff. So we have a good amount of data. And I guess that gives me very confident abilities to pull out trends and data sets. It also makes me a little bit less confident because we haven't made a change in quality, whether good or bad, in almost a decade in the industry. A decade ago, we were failing the same things at nearly the same rate we are failing today. We're just doing so with some new components or some different components. But we've started to identify training topics and pathways from that data that, as you know, Gabby, we've worked with various different groups, such as the folks down in Puerto Rico, the code officials and the install groups. Mass Clean Energy Center had supported a similar training effort where they brought the code officials from their areas in, as well as the installers, and essentially said, hey, we're both doing this process for the last decade. Here is the unbiased results. How can we get better at this? Is this workforce training? Is this enforcement? Or is this products-based, kind of differences that we need to move the needle? So that I'd say is the larger change that I've seen is the trend towards, all right, money. I won't even say money is getting less. We just need the money to go farther. We can't be spending money on, truck rolls to repair systems and increase cost of install. We need to understand where our weak points are, build them out of the system, and ensure a more efficient process to get to that same successful end result. So gladly I've seen that. Even so far as a recent funding that I hope I get to talk about in a formal context once it's approved, to actually develop an industry standard. IBTS has led a number of efforts, starting from the DOE-funded SAPSE, or Solar Access to Public Capital program. We took that effort under my previous manager, Chris Doyle, where we created an actual best practices in installation document for PV. That has, over the last decade, evolved to become SEIA's Quality Assurance Working Group installation standard, that essentially takes the best practices document and turns it into a technical requirements and measurable standard for organizations such as Sunrun, NYSERDA, and others to utilize, and gives it begins to create the structure so that all 15,000 of our jurisdictions throughout the country are measuring the same thing with respect to renewable energy projects. I think that's been the largest pitfall to both permitting, cost reduction, or managed quality oversight, is the variation across the 15,000 or so jurisdictions that some of these agencies and organizations are working within. So we've been very proud to carry that torch in a sense and not let folks mm-hmm. forget about solar quality and the need for a standard, because it is at the end of the day, it's a building department system. It's a building science system, and it is an electrical system that is being installed on a home in a mechanical past capacity that may consider some structural considerations, right? So we're blending multiple proficiencies mm-hmm. here, and therefore, bridging the gap between various departments or skill sets at the municipalities or even various inspection companies. So I'm proud to see that all of that work and effort and attempted sales for the last decade resulted in finally some light bulbs turning on and the realities being seen about long-term quality or lack thereof.
And I imagine that you are also influencing the building side of things, how buildings are solar ready, whether or not they really are ready for safe installs.
Yeah, and whether it's safe installs or just reduction of energy, right? I mean, do you put in a 10,000 kilowatt system because you've got really poor systems that are inefficient, or maybe you spend a little money to make the building envelope more efficient, reduce the overall usage of the building or project itself to where you can then put a little bit less solar on there and still accommodate 100% load. The planning and the cohesiveness with the building as a system is really, really important when you're looking for compounded benefits to energy efficiency installs, right? Or renewable energy, whether you're adding a battery or reducing a current load or need or time of use to better support generation or adoption of solar renewable energies, it is all part of what we help to support in a sense to really make that, packaged reduction and performance improvement.
And with your weatherization background, that makes a lot of sense, and blending all of these specialties together. And of course, then you're feeding into the grid, right? So you're actually influencing past the boundaries of the property itself, and you're influencing...
You're doing so. You're also subjecting yourself to some policy there as well, that if you're not responsible to the performance of the systems or the operation of the systems could have a negative effect in the future, right? So you're correct. When we're creating power, power is a publicly regulated commodity, and we need to do so within the confines of our utility, our grid, our systems, and do so in a way that supports the community. You may live in an area that has a lot of factories and a lot of opportunity to offtake that power generation during the day, or maybe you're island-based like Hawaii or Puerto Rico, that at a certain point there becomes a point of diminishing returns potentially to a grid-tied setup that is offsetting commercial loads during the day and residential loads at night or something to that extent. So a lot to consider here. And I think that's why I've enjoyed this job so much, is the ability to use my building science background and building development background in a way that's considerate to that building as an envelope, and not that's just great. With regard to framing or that sort of thing, but the system or the building operating as a system post-creation.
So you talk about having this copious amount of data, right? And the data started off maybe you just writing down checklists, and how has that evolved into how you take in data now, how you measure those trends? What kinds of trends are you seeing from that data?
Yeah, the trends I could probably talk to on an industry average level. By and large, getting ahead of myself, the way that we manage this data previously was through an internal private system that only worked through IBTS sort of Ethernet, VPN, and it ran off our internal servers. About 4 years ago now, IBTS received federal funding through Department of Energy, through the CETO office, Support Solar Energy and Technologies office. And the intent there was to develop a software or a platform that new, smaller, maybe municipality users could adopt that had the necessary components for overseeing a system and for essentially software operation, right? If I were a $100 million organization like Sunrun or Tesla or SolarCity, I can build these systems internally, and they're inherent to the success of my operations. Mom and pop don't have this opportunity, yet they're still subject to the same regimented oversight and quality management process, and maybe are limited in their ability to improve because of the hurdle for that system access or the ability to properly oversee. Say they've been savvy enough to actually have a software they could oversee something, combine data. What are they measuring? And is that data set along with the national average? So, the DOE funding included a component or dollar amounts for the creation of the software itself that can then be licensed or used by individuals and accessed by the larger industry. And then we also convened a working group that actually created a nationally recognized inspection checklist. And this is the beginning to standardization of PV installation. There's a number of requirements out there. There's a number of engineering documents or IEC certification testing, UL listings. What part of that is already completed by the product manufacturers, what part needs to be reviewed during plan review, what part of that needs to be inspected during installation inspection for final sign-off. These have to be sort of concerted and aligned processes, right? You can't just say, I inspect for this. Thankfully, we were inspecting for that for the reason of supporting the standard development. We were able to say, IBTS has inspected this for a decade. Here is our data outputs. You know, if we've never failed something over a decade, how relevant is it to the right. site assessment and the standardization process? And if we measure something is incorrect 35% of the time, 40% of the time, we have wire management issues on these PV sites. And that's an industry average from NYSERDA's data set to Staubli's data set to my data set. And we were able to sort of confirm, oh yeah, this data is actually real. Now we know and we can justify that every standard developed after this point must assess wire management. It must do so in a varying set of ways that are aligned with both design, manufacture, and requirements electrically mm-hmm. or code-wise. So that's a lot of the effort we've been taking on the back ends is people like, oh, you inspect solar. And it's like, yeah, that sounds very simple. What we actually do is inspect solar, but that's just the beginning of it. We're really doing that to identify those trends in data or responses, whether it's municipalities feeding back, they need additional support or install teams or et cetera. You don't necessarily know what you don't know until you start inspecting it and reviewing right. it. The second part of that working group was to take that information from the standardized collection of data or standardized data set and vetted against existing certifications such as NABCEP, the North American Board of Certified Energy Practitioners, which all of our PV inspectors hold a certification within.
Oh, okay.
They are the industry standard. They create ANSI accredited certifications for installers, inspectors, and otherwise. And what we did after creating those intake inspection checklists was we then vetted against KPI or the key performance indicators within the job task analysis of the certifications. So we said, if you are a certified PV installer or PV inspector, how relevant would these data points be to your job and your job task mm-hmm. analysis? So we were able to map them and essentially prove to the various stakeholders, why are these questions there and why are they relevant to system install or verification of quality of the system installation. So the process is really intended to be a full suite quality management, right? The quality assurance versus the quality control. The quality assurance is going to be that process that I've embarked upon or the things that I am intending to do to achieve that final successful result. Quality control is then the measurement of that final result mm-hmm. to see if it's aligned with the standard and create even a feedback loop to where I have to say, oh, I have to change the process because it's developing this the final result of a failure. Right. So what can we do to the ultimate process to increase the end result and achievements of that final compliance, if that makes sense?
Gotcha. Yeah, it absolutely does. And you're so basically you're saying how all of this data and really going back to the data on a constant basis to see what's changed influences then the best practices in the industry. And you're able to tweak, I guess, the...
Absolutely.
Yeah. Update. How is that update? Okay.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, good point. We don't want to keep measuring and beating the same drum for 10 years, right? We want to be driving improvement, and improvement in itself requires some updates. When we target improvements or workforce development based off of, say, a Pareto chart, a Pareto chart is a graph that essentially takes all my data and it compiles it in a way that addresses the highest failure categories first. So I can create a process where I am training my individuals on the most commonly found deficiencies or nonconformances. And essentially the concept there is if I only have 2 hours to train in one day, what is the one topic I can train on that will get me the most benefit or most reduction of failure and nonconformance? I'm going to work on that. And the theory or the inherent result is I start doing that thing wrong less often. Mm-hmm. And then next week I can look at number two, right? I'm going to update my process to say, okay, I've now inspected these 10 things. I've built this failure out of my process. I'm going to go to the next one. It's my next highest failure category, and I'm going to train on that. So in some cases, that data or that process help us identify criticality and what topics to address first. Mm-hmm. Because currently, there's no lack of certification or knowledge out there. What I think there is lack of a relevance or a consideration of how the knowledge is specific to failures or the process itself, right? So, you know, we embark upon this. We have every intention to do it great. But until we have looked at the end result, we don't know if everything we did at the front end was actually promoting the great outcome. Mm-hmm. So in an actual quality management feedback loop, you create a process, you conduct the process, you inspect, and then you amend, right? Mm-hmm. So this is very similar. The difference is our process was just created with a little bit of the insight into what the data was already. So I feel like we sort of had an educated trajectory and a you know, streamlined timeline to you know, version two or the upgrades, essentially.
That's great.
As you also know, codes change. So that's the other thing we update for is periodically we might, you know, include a lot more battery storage these days than we were, say, in 2014. So, you know, the NEC, the National Electric Code, is typically on a 3-year cycle, and then the I codes are within those cycles about 5 years or so, typically following suit and always somewhat relative of each other, but different in their specific end goals.
That's wonderful. So what's next? What's next in the solar field? What's next for you and IBTS within this crazy, awesome, exciting world?
Yeah. So a lot of what's next. My last 6 years have been targeted at maturization of energy services here within IBTS. And energy services has traditionally been looked at as the solar inspector group, which for a large amount of time we were creating sort of that actuarial or previous sets of data and conducting building work. But in the past 5 years, I've been trying to diversify in a number of routes, still following along the QA/QC or quality management process, but splitting them into energy efficiency and then renewable energies. We're sort of no longer just solar folks. Solar is one of many technologies promoting renewable energies. Storage is a large component, and oftentimes storage is accommodated or included without even on-site generation because of some backup needs. So in large part, our efforts have been diversifying our services through those service lines, and we've gotten a number of phenomenal wins, even some folks in your team helping in Puerto Rico and with the HUD groups, and Matt Anderson leading the team that's going to be running some of the HUD Resilience Academy work that we've been really, really lucky to be involved with. And I've been proud to work with the team with Enterprise Partners and the rest on that work, expanding the service line that we provide. Additionally, we've changed suit to be more of the component. I guess what we've done is really make an effort to start to formulate a path forward, leveraging the data set to promote efficiencies, benefits, and end results that we've been trying to achieve within the industry. So this year, we'll be leading the creation of a number of standards for SEIA's ANSI-accredited standardization team, one for PV installation, one for battery storage, and a number of other certifications there. And we are still working with agencies such as NYSERDA and others to support their various new programs as they adopt the various different green funding, the Inflation Reduction Act funding stuff, as well as the Building Infrastructure Law funding programs that are all intended to sort of reach a net energy goal by certain years, many of them very different. And depending on climate areas, many of them targeting various different components. But IBTS will continue to support those agencies, essentially moving from focusing on being boots on the ground inspecting and transitioning more to creating the national data standard, the national inspection standard, and then overseeing those as a not-for-profit third party. We are unbiased. We're not doing installations. We're not doing rebates. We are solely sitting here as a trusted third party that's really trying to guide the group of stakeholders, the investors, the consumers, the municipalities, the install teams, as well as the certification bodies and the training organizations that all really have to work in concert with these with each other to get these successful results that we're looking to achieve in the industry.
Well, thank you so much for talking with us today. We hope to have you back on very soon because there's so much to dig into different projects and such exciting work.
And to our audience, thanks for listening to On Further Inspection. We invite you to tune in again as we continue to explore topics and trends that are helping our communities thrive.
IBTS has performed more than 80,000 photovoltaic inspections and plan reviews nationwide, employing its FitQM software to bolster industry quality with real-world data, helping set best practices for the accredited national standard, and training the workforce in installation inspections.